Welcome to Speak in Flow, the podcast that helps leaders like you unlock the power of your voice, achieve maximum potential and flow through exceptional communication. I'm your host, Melinda Lee, and I am passionate about helping company leaders and their teams master public speaking, pitching with impact, and stepping into their full leadership potential. Thanks for tuning in to the Speak in Flow podcast, which is the top 10% of podcasts worldwide. When you stick around until the end, I have an exclusive gift just for listeners only, something that will immediately help you and your team up-level your communication. Let's dive in. Welcome, dear listeners, to the Speak in Flow podcast, where we dive into unique strategies to help you and your team achieve maximum potential and flow, even when the stakes are high. Today, I have an amazing powerhouse leader. She's experienced in the healthcare industry for over 25 years in a variety of roles. She has been an executive, a consultant, advisor, and even found investor and founder in the healthcare space. Her name is Becca Gordon, primarily in startups. Hi, Becca.
Hi, Melinda. Thank you so much for having me. This is so much fun.
I am excited. We're going to have a great time. So I'm curious, you do so many things. What particular are you passionate about doing today?
I'm passionate about a lot of things. I was told once when I was young by somebody really bright that if you want to find someone to do a job, you find a busy person. And that definitely represents me and my world. I am always on the go and there's a lot of things I feel passionate about. But in relation to leadership and management and this particular conversation, one of the things that I'm working on right now that's really exciting is that I'm leading a sales team. And it's funny because I think that being a sales leader is one of those roles that is like something that very few people enjoy. It's like herding cats, but it's actually something that I really love and am enjoying very much in my current role.
I can see. Do sales people or sales teams have lots of different types of personalities and or they talk some talk and some don't? Like it is like herding cats where
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, salespeople are weirdos, and I'm speaking, you know, myself included, right? Like, we're the people who want to talk to other people all day, every day. Like, that's not a normal thing. We're not in balance in that way, right? And so, yeah, it is like herding cats, and it's a lot of energy. I just shared with you, you know, before as we were talking that there's no chill in my house because I have two little boys. There's also no chill in my workspace. Like, there's zero chill in a sales team. And that's an environment in which I flourish. And I like to bring that, you know, grounded, mature sort of energy to balance out all the chaos and crazy.
Wow. That's awesome. And what do you see some of the challenges that they're facing currently today?
Well, I mean, the landscape is really challenging, right? I mean, our economic system is in flux and there's a lot going on, you know, regulatory and politically, at least in the healthcare industry. And I think across the spectrum related to tariffs and other things where, you know, we don't always know what's going to happen in 2 weeks or, you know, in 2 months. And so I think there's a lot of uncertainty and that's impacting still people's ability to get things done, especially in what I do, which is a B2B product. Mm-hmm. And so to get organizations that have complex decision trees already to make a decision to pull the trigger on a significant purchase in the midst of a lot of economic uncertainty is a challenge. So that's, I think, the biggest thing. There's also, if you haven't already noticed, a ton of noise in our world today. And so when you're thinking about, I'm a sales and marketing leader, when you're thinking about marketing and sales outreach, people are being, you know, accosted from all sides, myself included, from, you know, all sorts of different products and things all day long, from a personal, you know, for personal use, for family use, for, you know, professional needs. And so I think that getting through that noise is also a challenge. And I think what gets people through all of that is not a particular tactic. It's not a particular avenue. It's authenticity.
Wow. Really? Do you really believe that? I mean, there's some things that do work, right? Some tactics.
Yeah. I mean, you can't do any of this without tactics, but everybody has those tactics, right? And, you know, right. You can discuss kind of which ones work better in different scenarios. You got to try things trial and error. But at the end of the day, it's that personal connection and authenticity that makes that matters, both as a sales representative or, you know, SDR, BDR, whoever it is you are on a role like that, but also as a leader. I think having that EQ and that personal connection is required, and it really is what sets you apart from everybody else who also has good tactics.
Right. People want to know that you care, and we care deeply. And do yeah,
people, human beings want to connect with other human beings, you know, yeah. whether we're super introverted or super extroverted, you know, in one setting or another, we want connection as a species.
Right. It does take longer though, because there's so much noise. Yeah, we're getting accosted by so much data, information. And then, so do you feel like to be empathetic and to lead with that takes longer for a sales to actually happen?
Not necessarily. No, I think you can establish pretty early on that you're willing to go there with people. And I don't mean going someplace that's unprofessional. I think you can be both personal and warm and professional at the same time. And I think it's that mix that is really hard to achieve. And it's somewhat being mixed. I feel like being missed, sorry. I feel like there's kind of a sterilization happening in the corporate world, and it's trickled down even into the startup space, where they're for liability reasons and, you know, just for cultural reasons, maybe there's this desire to be ultra professional and ultra clean in all of our, you know, communications, because anything that you say, do, post can come back to haunt you later if it's not worded exactly correctly. And we have to have, you know, 17 people read every publication before it goes out, right? I think what's missed in that is you can maintain a level of professionalism and, you know, not talk about religion and politics and the other things that are no's, and, you know, not cross any boundaries with people and still be warm and still be human and still connect with others and find like-minded interests, whether they're, you know, professional or personal. I mean, it might be something as simple as, you know, we both enjoy being outdoors. I'm an outdoors person. And so, you know, in those first conversations where we're doing introductions and we're getting to know people on a team or, you know, externally in a sales process, just asking about people's interests, you know, what are they doing this weekend? You know, what is their day like? Rather than just jumping into whatever the particular pitch is for the day.
Yeah, right. Are you going to buy or are you not?
Yeah, that's important too. I don't want to waste their time or mine.
Right. Well, I'm curious, how has it been supporting your team to increase their EQ and empathy? What was that like for you?
So I think it actually goes a step further back probably, and it's about, you know, hiring the right people. And I have the benefit that when I came on board at my current role, I had one sales rep and one SDR. So it's a very small team. And it turns out that those two individuals are very coachable and very eager to learn some of these tools, and we're very open to techniques that help them be more personal and more empathetic in those conversations. And then I've had the privilege of hiring the rest of my team, and so it starts with hiring decisions. And for me, I'm at the stage of my career where I don't want to work with people that I don't want to hang out with, and so it's very much a, you know, no a-holes policy where I work. And that's really across the organization cross-functionally as well. And, you know, I hire humans that I enjoy spending time with. And I think that's the beginning of that training and mentorship to be able to be a little bit more vulnerable and to be able to be really authentic in a professional fashion. It starts with hiring someone who's ready to do it, because far be it from me to try to force somebody to be something that they're not. And if a person, for whatever understandable reason, is not at the point in their personal life or career where they're ready to be vulnerable in that way, then they're probably not going to be a right fit for this particular team with me right now.
Yeah. Isn't that interesting? There's sometimes people will just have a difficult time being vulnerable. And I think it could be, maybe sometimes it is hard to know how much vulnerability to share and not. Right. That's the fine.
Right. Part. And people learn as a mentor, people learn more from what you do than from what you tell them. And so much of the training in my current organization is around that modeling that behavior. And especially in that B2B environment where sales are very complex, there's multiple decision makers, there's multiple relationships to nurture. There's a whole decision-making tree around, you know, figuring out the internal workings of the other organizations you're going to be partnering with and who all of the decision makers are, and they don't look the same or have the same title, right, in every situation, I think it becomes even more important, all of the skills that I'm talking about. So we do a lot of role modeling and modeling as a group, kind of just where there's low stakes, just, you know, one-on-one, small group, sales team-wide, et cetera. And then I do a lot of shadowing where people, I'm very much a player coach at my current role. And so I do a lot of shadowing where people sit in and they see me do it. And far be it from me to want people to replicate my particular wording or my particular tone. But I think that more than anything that I could train them or teach them or give them a handbook or protocol on, having them see me and my other team members who, you know, are senior to them do the activity is something that is really meaningful in their training. And you know, then those follow-on conversations and one-on and group meetings where I'm working on nurturing those behaviors and encouraging those behaviors, it's easy to reference, like, oh yeah, you're telling me to, you know, make eye contact with that individual, even though I'm on Zoom with them. I saw you do that. And, you know, when you talk to me, I see you do that with me, right? So I think that that modeling piece is really important. And it's hard as a leader. It's hard for us to have the capacity to both do that ourselves and model it for others.
We need more Becca Gordons everywhere.
Oh, thank you.
Yes.
I think that would drive me crazy. And my husband too. He loves me very much, but I think if you asked him if there needed to be more than one of me, he would say, hell no.
He doesn't want to share. That's why. So I'm curious if there is, we don't have more Becca Gordons and someone doesn't have a Becca Gordon in their life. What, and they're still learning to be a salesperson or to be more empathetic. What are some of the key things that you see in some of the new people that you're training that are gaps? Like, for example, eye contact. They might not know some of the other.
I think there's a few things. I think that there's a lot of nervous energy with newer people in a newer role, very understandably. And we read each other's energy really well when we're speaking to one another, even virtually. And so some of what I teach to my team is just, you know, rather than them developing new grounding techniques, is just relying on using something like that before they're on a call with a customer or on a call with a prospect. You know, if they're a person who enjoys being outside, then maybe they take 1 minute and go step outside before they, you know, come on a meeting. Maybe they enjoy, you know, breath work or yoga and they're doing 5 minutes of that before they jump on their next session. You know, maybe it's petting their dog, maybe it's talking to their partner. I mean, for every person, again, it's different. But in order to be able to really make that connection, I think you have to come to a conversation where you've set aside some of whatever was happening before. And so one thing that we've implemented and many companies have implemented is rather than having hour-long meetings or 30-minute meetings, we do 55 minutes or 25 minutes. Perfect. And if a meeting ends early, you can ask my team, the thing I will say to them is, please make a commitment to me not to go and just use this extra 10 minutes to do work. I want you to take those 10 minutes for yourself and do something that brings you joy, that makes you happy, that helps you reset for the rest of your day. So coming into conversations, not back to back, not late, not rushed, you know, with a sense of calm, whatever you can do in between is really important. Eye contact, again, is huge. I think that there's a self-esteem piece that, you know, we're all working on and evolving and growing where we feel comfortable enough with ourselves to be vulnerable or be authentic. And for some people that's easier than others. And they just automatically kind of have that easy connection with others. And you have people in sales that are very much like that. And so there's that modeling team member, peer-to-peer modeling, right? Of that kind of person being in the group. But for those people that it's a little bit harder for, there's some easy kind of questions or steps. And really people love to talk about themselves. And so I think getting people talking about themselves, asking about their interests, asking about their day. You know, so much of the kind of Zoom meeting of today is, you know, let's go around the horn and everybody introduce themselves and say what your role is. And, you know, maybe if there's any personal-ish conversation, it's like, hey, how's the weather in, you know, Las Vegas where you are, right? I like to go a little bit deeper than that, right? You know, some of those questions of like, hey, do you have anything fun planned on Thursday? You know, hey, do you have anything fun planned for this weekend? You know, things like that, where it just starts to feel a little bit more personal. And like, I care.
Yeah. I love that, right? Turning it over to the other person, asking them questions, getting curious about the other person. And then so that way it takes the pressure off of me or someone that needs to
a new person. And I mean, if you even want to take it a little more professional, maybe that doesn't feel comfortable to you. Like, I don't want to ask what someone's doing over the weekend. It could be like, oh, I see, you know, as you're going around the horn, like, oh, this is the VP of operations, this is the CTO, this is, you know, asking a simple question like, oh, I see that you're the CTO at XYZ organization now. Can you tell me a little bit more about your background? Like, how did you get here? Right. Mm-hmm. And when you ask that type of question, commensurate with the body language of being interested in hearing what they have to say, and really truly in that moment, clearing what you're going to say next, clearing what your pitch is, clearing what the, you know, the goal of the call is, and really just being present to listen to that, you can use something that is still very professional and, you know, not uncomfortable and still kind of get there with people.
And how do we bridge the gap from then there's like when you get too comfortable or too informal, then the conversation down one way. And then do you have methods or how do you still be authentic and still transition over to potentially a sale? Still being authentic.
I'll be honest with you. I haven't seen as much of that. I think that there's this real sense of like, I want to be really professional. I want to do good at my job. Going too far the other way. I also have a really big tolerance for people being friendly on my team. And, you know, our brand voice is very informal. So like, I think it does depend on what industry you're in, what product you're selling, what company you work for, et cetera. It has to be in alignment with those company values and that industry kind of standard. But I don't personally see as much kind of going too far. And if I do, in the cases where I have, and there have been a few in the last, you know, couple of months, a lot related to like, we're together at a trade show and we're all going out and we're doing this. We already know these people and we're, you know, kind of, it's just because I have that really deep, you know, connection with my own team, I can tell them, you know, hey, staying out till 2 a.m. with this particular prospect in this particular venue might give them the wrong idea, you know, or isn't really necessarily, you know, pushing us more towards the sale that we want to get, right? And like, so having those kind of one-on-one conversations as needed, but I don't find the need to have those conversations nearly as often as the other way around, where people are just like, I am going to tell you all about this product now.
I love it. Oh, that's good.
And I think, again, modeling is where it's at, right? So it comes from the top down. Like, I'm definitely not one who's going to get too informal and too personal with my team, and they're not going to see me get that way with prospects. It's going to always kind of be in balance. And so, you know, just reinforcing that through modeling rather than through, hey, we need to be careful not to say this or do that. I think that's more useful.
Right. And you do a lot of consulting and advising also as your own consulting services for women's health.
I do. Yeah. So I co-founded a company with a friend in 2012. And it was really just designed to serve a need in the market space. And we never imagined it being business, and it was a business. And I ended up taking that company to acquisition in 2017. And so the aftermath of that, it was in the women's health space and services space. And the aftermath of that, I found myself doing a lot of consulting and advising for other like-minded companies in women's health. It's very rare for women's health companies to have an exit. And so the word kind of gets around when we do. And
Right.
there was a lot of interest from other companies in like, how did you do this? And as you're hearing me talk, I think you're probably hearing a theme of me sort of falling into things or the universe leading me in good directions that I didn't anticipate. And I really have enjoyed being a consultant and an advisor and even investing in some of those companies myself as an angel investor and a VC investor.
Wow.
As well.
Okay, how did you do this? I know that you had the opportunity, the universe created opportunities for you, but how did you do it? Like
How did I do what?
the building the business from the founding the business to exiting. If you had three, that's
It's a really long
a
story,
loaded question.
and
I'm like, oh my
I don't,
God.
I want to be succinct.
Okay.
I think you know, we I did a lot of sweat equity early in the process. I'm really into grassroots marketing and you know using community organizations and voices to be successful,
Wow.
partnering with other organizations and providers to be successful. So a lot of really good partnership work. And I think at the end of the day, my co-founder and I, we identified a need in the market that we saw being there. And so when you have that product market fit, then all of the other things are easier forward going. And so once we kind of realized we had a business and built the brand, like all of the things that went from that to exit were actually easier than the first part of realizing, oh, this isn't just like something that we see as a need and we're going to do once. This is something that we're building into a business together.
Wonderful. That's awesome. Well, thank you, Becca. You just shared so much. I've learned a ton and it was super fun. I'm curious, as the last question, what do you think, what would you want the audience to take away? One golden takeaway.
One golden takeaway for management and leadership is to not segment away your feelings. It's okay to feel your feelings. You don't have to show your feelings in every situation, but you are allowed to have feelings. It's okay to feel your feelings.
Agree. Drop the mic. Yeah. Because I found that when you suppress them, it doesn't, it sometimes can intensify, it manifests itself in other ways. And so just to be with it without judgment, and also without ruminating in it, set that, just.
Absolutely. 100%. You are ingesting those feelings, right? If you're not really letting them move through you, then
Exactly.
you're holding them. And
Yeah,
so we all
exactly.
as leaders need practices, again, just like our team, whatever they might be, that help us release those feelings, move through those feelings, kind of come full circle and be able to be present. Because a whole big part of being a leader and a manager is being able to be present through challenging situations. Can't do that without having really fully felt all the things that we feel.
Exactly. Wonderful. Thank you, Becca, so much.
Melinda, thank you so much. This is so
Fun.
much fun. I can't wait to spend more time listening to the archives of the Speak and Flow podcast.
Yes, thank you so much. It was this episode was powerful, and I appreciate your insight and time. And I also thank you, audience, for being here. I trust that you got your golden takeaway. May you take it, implement it right away. And remember, anytime you have a chance to communicate, you're also connecting and making a positive difference. So until next time, I'm your sister in flow. Much love. Take care. Bye, bye, Becca.
Bye. Thank you.
Thank you.
That's a wrap on today's Speak and Flow podcast. I hope that you gained valuable insights to help you communicate with more clarity, connection, and confidence. Before you go, let me ask you this. Can your team communicate your founder story in a way that strengthens relationships and builds your company brand? If not, I've got a tool for you. Introducing, it's an AI founder's story creator. This is a tool to help you craft a compelling story instantly that you can share with your team, and therefore your team can share with lots of people, building your brand. Grab this tool. In addition to creating immediately your founder story, you're also going to get one-on-one coaching with me so that we can continue to refine the story so that it's in alignment with your company messaging. click on the link in the show notes, grab it today, and until next time, keep leading with confidence and courage.